What one step in growth is able to bring one's life when we continue to grow in the things of the Lord. I believe the Lord's given me a message here this night, amen, that I worked on today, and let's get into the message, amen. The title of tonight is Greater Things in 2019, amen. But I know there's a little clock left on 2018, so he might do it tonight, amen. He may not be wanting to wait till New Year's like everyone's resolutions want to wait unto. Amen? But it just might be tonight that the Lord sets that word, that hook within you. Amen? For the greater things. Amen? So the title here this night, Greater Things for 2019. We go to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 46. If you don't have your Bible, every scripture will be given on the screens here tonight. Amen. And if you don't have a Bible yet, I would ask that you would come and see me after the service, and I would help you get the best Bible according to where you're at with your walk with the Lord for the many different translations of Bibles now that are available. Amen. So here we pick it up. Amen. A couple of months ago was John the Baptist with Andrew and John. And then we know that Andrew went and saved his brother, got Simon to Jesus, amen. Then we know that Jesus got to Philip, amen. And now we're where Philip is getting, he's going to go win over Nathanael, amen. He's now going to go win over Nathanael. Let's read, amen. I'm going to open up with, this is Nathanael responding to Philip, said, come on, man, we found Jesus. Come and check it out, amen. And this is the way that Nathanael would respond in verse 46. Nazareth, exclaiming Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you put me to the side, that you speak clearly here this night, your word, that we would be able to understand what you want from our lives, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. So I'm going to read over verse 46, but we're going to read all the way down to 51, verse 51, amen? With everybody following along, amen? Once again, right before this, amen, I'm going to take it there. You don't have to put it up there, Lily, but in 45, the Bible reads that Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And then we pick up in verse 46. Amen. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. As they approached, in other words, he went kind of grudgingly with Philip. Amen. But the Bible says, as they approached, Jesus said, they were coming. Jesus saw Philip and Nathanael coming. Jesus saw a new face. Amen. He says, and Jesus says, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Nathanael responds in verse 48, how do you know about me? Nathanael asks. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Verse 50, Jesus asked him, do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Amen. With everybody paying attention here this night, for you can follow along in the word and what the Lord's going to do this night through every step of the message. Amen. So when John the Baptist, before Jesus even got on the scene, John the Baptist, amen, had Andrew. He had two disciples already, Andrew and John. And the Bible says he was teaching them one day, and Jesus was passing by, and he says, look, there goes the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Bible records that Andrew and John immediately left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. A smooth transition. No bucking, no kicking. Amen? Then the Bible says that Andrew and John hung out with Jesus. Amen. Verse 39 says, in the house of Jesus. And after spending time with Jesus in the house of Jesus, the Bible there records that immediately that next day that Andrew, the first thing he did was go out to go find his brother Simon that we know would later become Peter. Amen. So everybody was just flowing. Everything was just flowing, going great. Then Jesus says, man, everything's running so smooth. I'm going to go get a disciple of my own. The Bible records that he went to look and he found Philip. And Philip followed Jesus. Everybody's being obedient until we get to verse 46. Till we get to verse 46. There's always one in the church, always one in the rehab, always one out there when you go evangelizing and somebody backtalks you or say something slick, amen? So Philip, that's verse 46. So in verse 45, Philip invites Nathanael, and Nathanael goes, Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now at this point, Philip could have said, what's up, homeboy? What you got a problem with me? But he said, he didn't argue with him. Amen. All the disciples were just flowing until Nathanael came along. Amen. Now here, Philip could have started arguing with him, saying, man, why are you talking to me like that? But nevertheless, he says, come and see for yourself. Philip replied. Amen. So I got here in my notes, up to this point, all of the first disciples were just flowing. Amen. Everything was going real good. Andrew, Brother Simon, John, Philip, everybody was acting like a disciple of Jesus. Amen. And I put on my notes, but then came Nathanael. And on my notes, I got a little funny face right there. Amen. I put here, how many know that in making disciples, working with people, that means, amen, that not everything is always going to flow the way you want it to? Amen? You know, there's always that one disciple, that one family member, amen, that just don't want to get it right. You can't tell them anything, amen? And here, Nathanael was just simply being invited by Philip to come and check Jesus out. That Jesus was the Nazarene. He says, can anything good come from there? So as he was asking him to come, Nathanael answered with the question, can anything good come from Nazareth? Amen. He questioned what Philip was saying. Have you ever been questioned when you're working with somebody, amen, or you're trying to win somebody over to the Lord and they question you, amen, about Jesus? I put here, how many have ever thought that your breakthrough was going to come through Jesus? You see, when I was out there running the streets, getting high, in and out of prison, amen, there was three areas that I thought that my breakthrough was going to come through. I preached this long time ago in messages. I thought it was just going to be a beautiful woman which is going to take me off my feet and say, he's so handsome. I know he's got such a good heart, but he's a dope fiend. So I thought it was going to be a beautiful woman that just swept me off my feet. That was so beautiful, I was going to stop using drugs. Well, they came, but I guess they were never that fine to get me from stop using drugs. Strike one. Then I thought, because I was such a hustler in the streets, running this way, running that way, and I never got tired, amen, that a businessman was going to walk by one day, see me out there in the hot spot, running back and forth, putting my hustle on, say, man, if I could get him to work for me, I could make big money with him. He's a businessman and don't even know it. He talks Spanish when he needs to talk Spanish. He talks English when he needs to talk Spanish. He talks black when he needs to talk black. He talks Puerto Rican when he, man. So I thought, man, I would make a good businessman. So strike two, amen, that big businessman never came and took me from the hot spot. The third person that I thought would be my breakthrough, my answer to my addiction, amen, was a big mafioso, a big cartel dope dealer. He was going to feel sorry for me, and he was not going to have me running the streets tomorrow. Just give me all the dope I wanted, for I wouldn't have to be out in the streets hustling. Strike three. So no beautiful woman took me off my feet. I was so fine that I stopped drugs. There was no businessman that saw me such as a businessman where he took me in. Amen. Strike two. And surely there was no mafioso that was willing to give me free dope all the time. Strike three. You're out. Back in prison. Nothing could change my life. The last thing, it was not even the last thing, it was not even on the list of what would possibly change my life would be Jesus. I never even thought that it would be Jesus, the one that would change my life. And even though I was raised in the church as a Catholic from a little baby, amen, all the way up to where my dad couldn't tell me what to do no more. I didn't have to go to church no more after my dad couldn't tell me what to do no more. Never did I think that my breakthrough would come in Jesus. Someone I couldn't see, whether they were on top of the sun, the clouds, the moon, and a tree somewhere, never would I thought that it would have been someone I couldn't see that was going to be the one that was going to save my life. Amen? And I believe Nathaniel was hanging out that day, kicking it under a tree, a fig tree, amen. Philip comes and says, hey, man, we found the Messiah. We found Jesus. Come and check it out. Nathaniel said, man, miss me with that. I remember when I was in the streets getting high, and the holy rollers, we used to call them, would come by and trying to hand out a flag. Man, miss me. You're messing up my high. Get up out of here. Do it moving. Move around. I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. Because I just thought it didn't work. And I believe that's the state of mind that Nathaniel was in. I believe Nathaniel had done many things, had listened to many people, and that nothing was working in the life of Nathaniel. That nothing was working. And even when Philip came by to invite him to go check out Jesus, he says, man, ain't nothing good coming out of Nazareth. Get up out of here, Philip. Leave me alone. And I believe that was the state of mind that Nathanael was in when Philip invited him to church, to come and check out Jesus. There's times that we can look at our own family members and say, he's never changing. She will never change. Come on, you know somebody, you say, that person ain't changing. Tan locos, they're cuckoo, crazy, psychos. Now, maybe her, maybe him. Not him, not her. I was one of those. All my family were making bets that my life would never change. Because I screwed up over and over and over, burned everybody, ripped off everything, over and over. I was not supposed to amount to anything. And never would I ever think in my wildest dream that someone I couldn't see was going to be the one that would transform and change my life into a great man of God. Never! Never. And I believe this is where Nathanael was at. He was having a bad day. He already had tried everything to change. And then comes along Philip saying, come on, man, we found Jesus. Nazareth, there's a reason why Nathanael talked kind of bad about Nazareth. Amen. Nazareth was a town in Galilee that bordered the Gentile or the heathen nations. It was right next door to the Gentiles. Amen. Nathanael was a Jew, and there were real prejudice against the Gentiles. Amen. There were real prejudice. They would say if you looked at one or touched one, that you were considered unclean. Amen. So there were real prejudice back then, just like people are still prejudiced today. And it's not just prejudice, a black and white thing, but there's things that people are prejudiced about that goes way beyond skin color. Nathanael was prejudiced, and that's why he answered Philip with the question saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because they had a way of looking at people that were from there as lower than, amen, not about nothing. So here Nathanael automatically was prejudiced to Philip by simply inviting him, amen, to Jesus that was from Nazareth. All of a sudden, Nathanael hadn't even gone yet, and he cut short what Jesus was able to do in his life, what Jesus wanted to do in his life. And there's a lot of times things take place in our life and we don't give Jesus an opportunity or a chance to change our lives. We allow other things to come in to distract us and take us off course to what Jesus is wanting to do in and through our lives. So here we come to find out that Nathanael was prejudiced, amen, against the Gentiles. And no matter what the sin is, even if it's being prejudiced, a prejudiced person, a drug addict, a prostitute, an alcoholic, we cannot stop inviting the worst of people unto church. Just because they have titled them a certain type of a person, a gang member or whatever, does not mean that the Jesus we serve cannot change them. Give the Lord a good clap offering, amen. Jesus is able to do all things, not just with good people that behave themselves, but he's able to do great things through people that have been disobedient, that have been drug addicts with the opposite sex over and over, money, whatever it might have been. Jesus is able, and we cannot lose hope or faith in that family member that looks untouchable, unsavable. Because of their actions, the things they do, the things they say, the looks they give. Amen? But the Bible in verse 47 says, I think Philip kind of took him dragging. Then Nathanael, all right, let's go. The Bible says, as they approached, and Jesus is checking them out, says, man, my disciple Philip got him one. He looks like he got some toughie. I was with my homie cruising today, one of the thug life, amen? He had a tough one. It was Nathanael. And the Bible records as they were approaching that Jesus said, this is about Nathanael. Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. So you break down that word complete integrity in the Greek, amen? It means did not deceive. What you saw in Nathanael is what you got. Amen? He wasn't sugarcoating nothing. Amen? So he did not deceive. He did not bait. He did not mislead people to make them think he was all about this. He let you know who he was up front. The word in the Greek means also did not hide what he thought. Did not hide what he said about what he thought. And he acted what he felt. He was straightforward. We call it straight up. Amen? He was straightforward, open, and honest. And he demonstrated it to Philip in his response. What was his response? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He demonstrated it to Philip in his response. Even though he was wrong, he told it like it was. He told it like it was. Amen? Nathanael was being Nathanael. And that's why Jesus said, here's a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. He wasn't trying to portray somebody he wasn't. And the problem with the church today is that many say the right things, even at times do the right things, but are doing them in order to deceive others by getting their way. So we have a lot going on in the church. It looks like it's all good. We act like it's all good. We come dressed accordingly, but inside our lives, something else is truly taking place. We've learned how to dress it up over the years to look like a Christian instead of being like a Christian. How many like people I put here that keep it real, 100, amen, as the youth says, 100%, amen? And I put here, so does Jesus. His word says that the truth will set you free. In verse 48, Nathanael would start getting a sense that, man, this cat they call Jesus is kind of looking into my life right now. I am a man of complete integrity. I do tell it like it is. I've counseled so many people. Pastor, I'm going to tell you like it is, Pastor. I ain't going to sugarcoat nothing. Come on, bring it. Amen? I've had a lot of those. Nathanael was one of them. Amen? Pastor, I'm not going to hold back. I got to speak what's on my mind. I ain't like her or him. I'm going to tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. So Nathanael says, man, this is Jesus. How do you know about me, Nathanael asks. Nathanael started getting the sense that this Jesus was kind of peeking into his life. He was going beyond what Nathanael was saying, how he was posting up, how he was looking. But Nathanael sensed that Jesus was starting to peek into his life. So Nathanael responds, how do you know about me? Question mark. Nathanael asks. Jesus takes it a little bit further. Amen. Jesus replies and says, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. I was checking you out before Philip even got to you. Ooh, now he's spooked. Amen. He says, man, I was under a fig tree before Philip came around the corner. Amen. How's this guy able to see all these things? So in the beginning, he was kind of sensing that Jesus just wasn't a normal man, that he was peeking into his life. But then Jesus blows his mind by saying, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Before Philip even got there, I was already checking you out, Nathanael. So now Nathanael is tripping out. He knows it's much more than a man speaking to him now. The Bible in verse 48 says, how do you know about me, Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. First, he could sense it. Now he knew that Jesus was looking into his life. How many believe that Jesus saw us while we were still under the fig tree of the world? When we were out there running around doing our thing, posting up. Everything was good. Party hardy, like you don't care. I always knew somebody was checking me out. Not because I was paranoid on dope or anything. That was part of the equation. But I always thought somebody was checking me out the whole time I was getting high and running around and stuff, because I was waiting for that beautiful woman to figure me out. Amen. I was waiting for that businessman. I thought the businessman was looking. I thought the mafioso was gonna take care of me was looking. But I was wrong. But in my life, even though my actions were wrong, inside my heart, I knew I was a good guy. I knew I wanted to do good, but I just couldn't do the good I wanted to do. Just the messed up things kept coming out. But always, I always thought somebody was checking me out. Besides those three areas and the cops, the parole officer, and all that other stuff, I always had a sense that somebody was looking at me. I ask you here this night, when you were doing your thing, when you were under that fig tree of being lost and bound with no direction, whether it was addiction, whether it was school, whether it was a guy, whether it was a girl, whatever it was that had you tripping all by yourself under that fig tree, do you believe here this night that Jesus was able to see you under that fig tree before you even came to church for the very first time? Do you believe that Jesus was able to see you before you even gave your life to him, while you were under that fig tree of the world? See, when Jesus responded to Nathanael and said, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you," that blew his mind. That blew his mind, because I believe when Nathanael was under that fig tree, that he was thinking to himself, "Am I ever going to change? Is this the way I'm going to stay forever? Is there nothing that's going to be able to change my life? Mom and dad couldn't do it. A job couldn't do it. The opposite sex couldn't do it. Education couldn't do it." And I believe that day Nathanael was on a mind trip and wondering if his life was ever going to change, if anything good was ever going to come to him, if anything good was ever going to happen through his life. I believe Nathanael was having one of those days. And as he was thinking and tripping and out loud, Jesus knew his thoughts. He knew his questions. Because the Bible says that Jesus knows our thoughts before we even think them. So as he was thinking under that fig tree, wondering if his life was ever going to change, Jesus was peeping game and he didn't know it. Jesus saw that he needed to be saved. Jesus, I believe, directed Philip to him because Jesus knew where he was at. He was under that fig tree. See, Jesus knew where you and I were when we were lost and bound. And even though we were hiding from the cops, hiding from her or him, he knew where we were at. Jesus has always known where you've been. You can't hide from Jesus. How many believe Jesus saw us while we were under, still under the fig tree of this world, while we were still under addiction, while we were still undergoing a bad relationship fig tree, while we were still under the lies of the enemy fig tree, while we were being raised up under the system fig tree, While we were being raised up under a bad family setting, fig tree, in order to save someone, and I'm not talking like salvation saved, like let's just say somebody gets lost in the mountains, amen? They called in, they got to get saved, amen? They plane wrecked or whatever it was. The polar bear ran after them, whatever it was. They're lost, they're running. They don't know where they're at. In order to save someone, you need to see where they're at. If you want to find your dog, you got to find where your dog's at. In order to save someone, you need to see where they're at. And I have a question I put here. How many know that Jesus knew what we were under and where we were at? He knew what the enemy was using to put us under, to hide us from the call of God. Jesus, in order for him to save us, to have saved us, he had to know where we were at. And he knew where Nathanael was at. He had a man called Philip that was going to go flush him out, amen, from that fig tree he was under. How many are grateful that Jesus has delivered us from whatever it was that was keeping us under that fig tree of the world? You see, our family and loved members knew where we were at, but they didn't have the power to deliver us. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the words, the answers to the many things that we were under. Jesus not only saw where we were at, not only saw where Nathanael was at, he had an answer for him. So in verse 49, then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Remember, it started off, "What good can come out of Nazareth?" So, okay, I'll go. Come on, I'll go. And then Jesus speaks a word. He had a sense when he said he was a complete Israel man, a man of integrity. But then when Jesus told him that he saw him under that fig tree before Philip even got there, all of a sudden, how Nathanael was thinking about Nazareth, how Nathanael was thinking about what Philip had said. First it brought a sense, then all of a sudden, from saying what good can come out of Nazareth, all of a sudden, by the spoken words of Jesus, now this is the way Nathanael's speaking, amen? Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi," which means we know that means teacher, "you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." From what good can come out of Nazareth? Amen? All right, Philip, let's go. Now, by the spoken word of Jesus, he's looking at him as the Rabbi, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Verse 50. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." How many are grateful that Jesus did not only see us under that fig tree of the world like everybody else did? Mom, dad, brothers, sisters, but that he was able to save us. See, Jesus just didn't allow me to come to church and see over 20 years ago in Salinas, California. But he was able to deliver me No one could do it. The beautiful woman. Now I got the beautiful woman. Amen. Shando. The beautiful woman. Amen. The mafioso. The business person. Never showed up. How many are truly grateful that Jesus did not only see us under the fig tree of the world like everyone else did? There's churches right now seeing the lost and the bounds on the street corner, not doing nothing about it. We somehow all come from the street corner. If we weren't literally on the street corner, we have a family member that was on the street corner. Somehow or another, we're all connected to someone that's been there, done that. But that he was able to save us. Simply, I'm grateful here this night, simply by what Jesus has already done in my life. Simply by what Jesus has already done in my life is so great. By what he has, past tense, what he already did has me so grateful, was so great, I put in my notes, that I have never forgot what he's done. What he did in my life, it was so great that I have never forgotten what he has done. Not by just a thought of gratefulness. Because there's many that in their mind, man, Jesus saved me, I was grateful. And in their thinking, in their thought life, they're grateful for what Jesus did. Not just a thought of gratefulness I put here. But by action, I have shown Jesus that I'm forever grateful for what he has already done. What's great enough to allow me to become a man of God of action. And I believe we all have a story here this night, have all been under that fig tree of the world, that Jesus has pulled us out from under and has delivered us and has brought us here on a Friday night. I believe each and every one of us have something grateful to be thankful for that was so great that we're not just coming to church on a Sunday, but even on a Friday night. Whatever it was so great that we are grateful here this night. It don't end there. It doesn't end there. He goes on to tell Nathanael, you're probably now believing me. You start off by saying, what good could ever come out of Nazareth? Jesus who? All of a sudden, I'm Rabbi, amen, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Simply, Jesus told him, do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? Jesus goes on to say, you will see greater things than this. So he's got Nathanael all twisted. Nathanael's already blown away, calling him Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel. Jesus was able to see something in his life that he thought was an inner secret that nobody could ever know about or nobody could ever help him in. Jesus says, you think that blew you away? You thought that was good. You will see greater things than this. Too many times, if we're not careful, we can stay on what Jesus did instead of in what he's wanting to do. We can be grateful for what he did, and that we should be, but we need to know that what he did with purpose. And what he's wanting to do in the greater things that he's wanting you to see with your very eyes. People, men and women being saved that you X'd out of your life thinking that nothing could change them. But then comes walking Jesus by. He told Nathanael, you're just believing in me now because I kind of prophesied before Philip got to you what you were thinking about under that tree. It was stinking thinking, Nathanael. Or shame, shame, shame. I know what you were tripping on. Now you call me the King of Israel. And Jesus tells them that was nothing. What's going to be greater is before you, not behind you. And that's why it's very important that we remain growing in the things of the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, when I was in the worship team, man, I was this and that. Man, when I used to preach, man, when I used to do this. And we reminisce of the past when Jesus was using us. Man, I remember, 5 years ago in the church, man, do you remember when this happened? And Jesus is wanting to do greater things than that. Jesus wants to top some things in your life that he's already done. In other words, what I've done in you, you will see it take place in many others. He was telling Nathanael, what's blowing you away right now? You're going to see it take place in many others, even if they're hardcore, hard cases. What you're tripping on, I'm going to have others tripping on. Because I'm not only able to look into your life and know where you're at and deliver just you, but I'm able to look into her life and his life and also deliver her and him. By just simply coming and seeing, I put here in my notes, you can get saved. By just coming to church and hearing a message, by come and see, that's the first step that we've been working with. By just coming and seeing, it can save you. You can give your life to Jesus. It can save your life. But here's the difference. But by come and follow me, you will not only be able to see what Jesus has done for you, but be able to see the greater things on how he's going to use your life. See, the greater thing is not what Jesus has done for you. The greater thing is what Jesus wants to do through you. But in order for Jesus to work through you, you're going to have to follow him. Too many people trying to help Jesus, Too many people trying to help people without following Jesus. You give them the right answer, you give them the right scripture, but by your actions, you're not following the ways of the Lord. We got to go beyond having the right answer. We got to be a correct witness of Jesus because we're living in darkened times. We're living in hard times. And people need to see men of God, women of God in the making that are real, that are not just coming to church, but following Jesus and looking for the greater things to take place, not only in their life, but the greater thing of Jesus working through their life. And that's what the Lord is wanting to do here this night. You can get saved by just coming to church. But if you want God to use your life and operate through your life, as he did Philip to get to Nathanael, you're going to have to follow Jesus. See, the day before, Philip got won over. The next day, he's already winning Nathanael over. I don't think Philip had all these scriptures, he was quoting to Nathanael. He was a one-day convert. But what was important was that He knew Jesus, and the Word was God, and God was the Word. He knew the one that was the Word. So here we come to find out one day later, Philip is winning a prejudiced man over to Jesus. Because one day later, he was already following Jesus. He was following Jesus. He was following Jesus when Jesus says, come and follow me. And the next day, he wins Nathanael over. Did he do it? Nah, Nathanael gave him a crazy question. What good could come out of Nazareth? But when Jesus spoke, the lights came on. Amen. As the worship team makes their way forward, please. Too many people getting saved and not enough people following Jesus. Too many people getting saved and not enough people following Jesus. Because there's so many that are still lost and bound out there, and some are our very own family members. Our very own family members. I want to let you know, when you follow Jesus, anointing comes upon your life. Philip wasn't all this and that. He was a one-day convert. He was just following the leader. What worked for Simon and Andrew and John worked for Philip. And what worked for Philip even worked for hardcore Nathanael. There's no case too hard that Jesus can't crack. I am proof of that one. I didn't even have him on my list. I wasn't even looking his way. But he saw me under that fig tree. Hacking hard during the day, walking the prison yard, posting up, acting like a gang member, and I was never a gangster, amen? But when the nights would turn out, man, I would call to Jesus, I need help, man. I don't want to stay in this place. I don't want to stay the same person. He heard my prayers. He was able to see me in that darkened cell. And one touch from Jesus changed the course of my life for 20 plus years now. Many have been touched by me following Jesus. Smooth disciples, what I call amen disciples, just flow disciples, to even hardcore disciples have been saved in this church. The greater thing that Jesus wants to do is not just save you, but to use your life. To use your life. Has he been using your life lately? Or is he still trying to save you again and again and again? As we stand, I'm going to open up the altars here this night. It's a real important message. It's a real important message for those that want to go from the come and see to the next step of come and follow me. When I say me, I'm not talking me. I'm saying Jesus. So if God has touched you and he has spoken to you and he has seen you under the fig tree of the church, and he's moved you and stirred you to say, there's greater things that I want to do through your life. I ain't done with you, sister such and such. I ain't done with you, brother such and such. I got a lot of greater things that I want to do through your life, but you're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to put some of those things away. You're going to have to stop doing this and that in order to follow me, so that I can anoint your life. and use your life and do the greater things in you. Whatever the song is, love, whatever the song is.